91X News.
Good afternoon. It's 5 degrees and partly cloudy at noon. I'm Scott Gardner with 91X QNET News. Police are asking for the public's help as they search for a Toronto man wanted for first-degree murder after a drive-by shooting last week. Detective Sean Mahoney says that a 23-year-old Kevin Nicholas Gidden died in hospital on Saturday after he was shot while sitting in the passenger seat of a moving car in Toronto around 1 a.m. Thursday. Detective Mahoney says Gidden was targeted after he and the suspect crossed paths at a gas station in the city's East End. He says the suspect followed Gidden and allegedly fired 2 to 3 shots into the car, injuring Gidden. Mahoney says the driver drove Gidden to a local police station before he was sent to a hospital by ambulance. 22-year-old Simon Hardy of Toronto is wanted for first-degree murder, and police warn he is armed and dangerous. The Gardner Expressway in Toronto has reopened after a fatal crash kept it closed for about 6 hours for a police investigation. Police say a woman died after her car crashed into a guardrail on the Gardner Expressway around 3 a.m. this morning. They say the car skidded to the other side of the eastbound highway where it crashed into a building near Jameson Avenue. Police say the woman was alone in the car and no other vehicles were involved. The name of the deceased has not been released. A strike deadline is looming as contract talks continue between Ford Canada and its unionized workers. Unifor has threatened a job action if a tentative agreement isn't reached by midnight tonight. The union describes the negotiations as painfully slow. Over the weekend, some minor progress has been made at the bargaining table, but made it clear that a majority of issues still needed to be settled. Unifor is seeking a deal similar to those it reached with GM and Fiat Chrysler, which included wage hikes and new investment in local plants. The first female commissioner of the Ontario Provincial Police, Gwen Boniface, is one of 6 new senators named today by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. In addition to Boniface, Trudeau has also named Kim Pate, Executive Director of the Canadian Association of Elizabeth Fry Societies and an assistant professor at the University of Ottawa's Faculty of Law. Trudeau says the new appointees, all from Ontario, are exceptional. International Trade Minister Chrystia Freeland remains cautious after an apparent European breakthrough in the long-running Canada-EU free trade saga, hours after an agreement was struck between Belgium and its holdout region of Wallonia. Freeland stressed there is a long road ahead before the trade agreement can be enacted.
There are still many steps to be taken, and I want to be sure that Canadians appreciate that even after signing, the process will not yet be complete.
Belgium says the agreement makes a signing ceremony in Brussels a promising prospect. Indigenous Affairs Minister Carolyn Bennett says the Liberals plan to vote in favor of an NDP motion calling for an immediate $155 million investment in First Nations child welfare and a funding plan for future years. The plan comes in response to the suggestion from former Truth and Reconciliation Commission Chairman Murray Sinclair for the federal government to immediately comply with legal orders from the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal. The tribunal has issued 2 legal orders to the government urging action since January, when it declared Ottawa discriminates against Aboriginal children on reserves when delivering child welfare services. The Syrian military has vowed to repel Aleppo insurgent attacks and says it's determined to repel an attack on the government-controlled western part of Aleppo. They claim opposition fighters have killed 84 people, mostly women and children, in 3 days since launching their offensive. It accused the insurgents of criminal acts that included an alleged attack of toxic gas that wounded several, but it said that that won't dissuade its troops from continuing its war on terrorism. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights estimates 48 civilians, including 17 children and 61 pro-government fighters, have been killed since the offensive began Friday. An insurgent alliance, including an al-Qaeda-linked group, attacked western Aleppo, aiming to breach a months-long siege on the rebel-held eastern side of the city. Amnesty International said the insurgents showed a shocking disregard for human lives. Hilary Duff is apologizing for dressing up as a pilgrim for a Halloween party while her boyfriend put on a headdress and a face paint to go as an American Indian. Duff received relentless criticism through social media after pictures from the party were posted online. Many thought the costumes were racially insensitive. The actress responded on Twitter yesterday, writing that she was so sorry to people she offended with the costume and saying it wasn't properly thought through. Walsh issued his own apology via Instagram, saying he meant no disrespect and regrets wearing the costume altogether. Italy's premier has promised to find temporary housing for people displaced by a series of powerful earthquakes in the central part of the country. Reporter Colleen Berry says more than 15,000 people have sought assistance, and that number is expected to rise.
Civil protection authorities are working to house the many people who have been displaced now by a second series of earthquakes. The quake yesterday was the strongest in 36 years.
That quake yesterday in Italy thankfully caused no deaths or serious injuries, mostly because of many city centers had already been closed due to previous quakes in last week and in August. It was another violent weekend in Chicago's South Side. Ryan Burrow has more.
17 killed, more than 40 hurt in Chicago over the weekend. Among the dead, two 17-year-old twin brothers shot while standing on a street corner Sunday. Two women were hit by gunfire Saturday while inside of a popular restaurant on the city's South Side. Crisis responder Dawn Valente, part of a group holding an anti-violence rally outside of the restaurant.
It's not normal, and I'm not going to accept it as normal, and nobody should accept it as normal. Because if we accept it as normal, it's going to continue.
2016 has been one of the bloodiest years in Chicago in two decades. Ryan Burrow, ABC News, Chicago.
That's QNET News on 91X to 1206. Sports is next.
Ooh, wow, nice Corvette. What year?
67.
And what year was your son born again?
Early 80s.
You love your classic car like a child. Protect it like one. Mackey Insurance proudly offers a fully loaded policy that protects your classic automobiles. Come and see us at the Mackey Insurance Office, Dundas Street, Belleville, between TSC and the hospital.
Yeah, my 67 Corvette's insured, but I still don't let her out past 8.
Be sure. Insure with Mackey Insurance.
Don't count out the already historic 2016 Chicago Cubs, now just two road wins away from their first World Series championship since 1908. The Cubs won Game 5 in Chicago 3-2 last night, but still trail the best of seven series 3-2. Fans in Cleveland say there's excitement in the air as the Indians try to beat the Cubs in Chicago to clinch their first World Series since 1948.
It's been really electric. Everybody's a little tentative because it's Ohio against the world.
It was a rough night in New York for the Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday as they fell 5-1 against John Tavares and the Islanders. A power play marker from Jake Gardner was the only tally for the Leafs, assisted by James Van Riemsdyk and young star William Nylander. New York showcased their scoring depth with goals from five different players: Hamonic, Cizikas, Prince, Nelson, and Bailey, all putting the puck past Leafs netminder Enroth. An outstanding performance from Ottawa Senators goalie Craig Anderson led to a 37-save shutout victory over Edmonton. Senators' goal is coming from Hoffman and Bobby Ryan. Loyalist Lancers basketball defeated the Georgian Grizzlies this weekend, the men posting a 76-65 victory and the women's team winning a thriller 55-52. The men play Fleming College later this week. Lancers volleyball split against George Brown College on Saturday, with the women's team winning 3-1 and the men's team losing in straight sets. They're back in action on Friday and Saturday at Algonquin and LeSite. At 12 o'clock, it's 5 degrees and partly cloudy. I'm Scott Gardner, news on 91X, next at 1 o'clock.